specialist, and I'm super excited to have this platform here. I get the chance. I have the great luxury of having a lot of wonderful conversations throughout my career with people that I've looked up to, that I've worked side by side, that have been mentors of mine. And when we started talking about the idea of going, putting that into a podcast format, that was exactly what I wanted to do, is to take those conversations that I get the luxury of having. And if anything, during 2020 and the lockdown and everything that we've all gone through over the last year now, been exactly a year now, I think what we all learned, I certainly did, is that word connection became even more important. You know, we had Zoom meetings, we had socially distant conversations, we had phone calls. I don't know about anybody else, but there wasn't a lot of connecting at the real level in my world going on. And that's kind of what drives me. So it was another reason for wanting to do this podcast in this format, is to give people the ability to really connect at a level that I just don't think we've gotten to in the last year on many levels. And the nice thing about where I get to sit is I've met some phenomenal people over the years. I want to bring them to you. There'll be reps from carriers, other FMOs like myself, other people within the industry that are leading this industry in a lot of different ways. Agents, those agents that what this whole industry is about, is supporting that agent, working with that senior client day in, day out. So we'll be talking with several agents. But today, again, I don't want to get into the business side of things. These are people that I've identified that have had tremendous success, but there's lots of books and videos and YouTube and all that you can watch about how to be successful in business. And we're going to touch on that a little bit. But what I really want to know, what really drives me when I listen to other conversations, what I want to learn from people is really the human side, the human connection, if you will. What drove that person to even want to join this career, this industry? What was the best day of their career? What was the worst day? Why, when you wanted to quit, why didn't you throw in the towel? What is your North Star? Those types of things is what I want to talk about today. And I'm super excited to have my guest today. I love it when business and friendship get to collide. You know, we all are very busy in our business, in our day-to-day careers and lives. And we have a lot of acquaintances in this industry. It's all built on relationships. But when you can find somebody that you stumble onto that becomes more than an acquaintance, more than a business relationship, and turns into true friendship, you just want to do everything you can to keep that. So I first met our first guest, which is Kim Clark, several years ago. She was our UHC rep, and I have stalked, or excuse me, followed her. Maybe some might say stalked her. But wherever she has gone since, then I'll never forget. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning, Joanne.
I'll never forget. So you were with one of our carriers and then left that carrier, and I kind of lost touch with you for a little bit, and I walked into a rollout. I don't remember which city we're even in, but I walked into this big conference area, and all I could do, I stopped in my tracks because I heard your voice. I heard you talking to a group of people and that laugh, and I'm like, wait a minute, stop. Is that Kim Clark? And I ran over, and it was literally like, you know, old home week, and it didn't take us but about a minute and a half to catch back up. So welcome, Kim. Super, super excited to have you here today.
Oh, thanks, Joanne. This is great. I love this whole platform. And like you said, you know, instant connection with certain people, and that is you. And just, you know, treasure our friendship. Tremendously. Yeah.
Very much so. Well, for those of you that don't know Kim, why don't you spend just a couple of minutes, Kim, kind of your bio, your story, tell everybody a little bit about where you're at now.
Sure, sure. So let's see, I got into this industry, my goodness, 26 years ago. I like to joke and say right when I got out of high school, but yeah, that wasn't the case, unfortunately. wish I did, because this is, to me, the greatest industry. You could be in. And, you know, just from there, you know, became an agent, you know, had a couple of offices, started up my own offices. Then I started my own, agency. Then I went and, you know, became vice president of sales for United Healthcare. And then I left and became a consultant for this industry. So just lots of different roles. I think almost every single role I could have in this industry, I think I've had.
Yeah, everyone that I just, every type of guest I just described, that you fit that mold. You've been the agent, you've been the carrier, and you've been on the FMO side. So of those, where did you feel like, and this might be an unfair question because it depends on where you're at in your life, but of those different roles, where did you feel like you learned the most about this industry and about where you wanted to have your career?
You know, I mean, that's a great question because you think about it. And I think in every stage you have, like, you know, certain things that stand out that make you want to, you know, pursue that side of the business. And when I started my agency, it was an under 25 agency. So it wasn't in the senior space. And about a year after my husband came on board, and, you know, it was during the time of Obamacare was getting passed. And my gosh, we were in a very volatile industry at that time, right? You know, who knew what was going to happen with under 65? So I thought, geez, we need to diversify. And you know, plus my kids knew more about healthcare reform than they did SpongeBob SquarePants. So I thought, really, really need to spread our family wings here a little bit. So I think at that moment, I said, you know, I really want to get back into the senior market because that's where I felt that I could do the most. So that's, I just remember that being such a big point in my career. And, you know, that's where I want to be, is where the senior business, they need the most help.
I love that. You've definitely seen the different angles of that and where the, and every single point that touches does have an impact. We like to teach our kids, and they are kids that start here, many employees just in their early 20s, come out of high school or college. And I always tell everybody that for the first few days, weeks, sometimes months, depending on their job, of their career here, they may not hear the word insurance. They may not hear the word, you know, Medicare, but it's more of what this company is doing to have an impact in our community, in the agencies that we serve. So insurance is kind of a byproduct of that, but that's what we try to teach. We're in a service industry. So we put our people through classes and through trainings and through a lot of job shadowing of how to be in the service industry. And then you can learn Medicare later, but let's learn how to take care of people first. So I think that's super that you had all those different glasses that you saw this industry through. That has to help you today, you know, being the consultant and working with agents and working with FMOs and working with carriers, because you've been there and you've seen things from there. Vantage point. I think that's a huge feather in your cap because not everybody can see the other side, right?
Yes. I think I swore I would never work for, you know, big corporate ever. You know, I pretty much just love the entrepreneurial world, and that's, you know, kind of what I was raised in. But, you know, being on the carrier side, when I did finally succumb to that and went over there, I learned a lot. I learned a lot of how the carrier thinks and how to, you know, kind of adapt it into the FMO world and make it a little smoother for the FMO.
Awesome. Yeah, you definitely, that was one of the things we felt and talked about when you left is that I always felt like, and I've shared this with you, I know, but I think this is important. I always felt like when you came in as a carrier rep, you always said the word, we, here's what we're going to do. And then we can do this and then we can do that. And most carrier reps come in saying, you're a company, we're the carrier. And here's what we need you doing, or here's what I'm going to do so that you can do this. But you always came in with that we attitude, and it was noticed because it did feel like you were kind of going to bat for us and rolling up your sleeves when you came here, not just showing us stats, but rolling up your sleeves and helping us, because it was that we type attitude. And I think you got that again from being around the different areas.
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, you could do so much more when you're joined, right? And you use the word community. So it doesn't matter what community you're referring to, right? I feel like, you know, we had to be a community to run smooth and get the end result, which was helping and serving, right?
Absolutely. So you've always worked somewhat remotely. So this remote living, lockdown, whatever it is, we're all trying to figure out how to work from home. And a year ago, you had this down pat for years, right? You've been doing Meetings and conference calls from your backyard, and you probably thought we were all silly trying to figure this out, but you've lived that world for so long. By having that flexibility, or by having maybe too much flexibility, tell me how that affected mom life, family life, home life. You got three kids going three different directions, yeah. 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
How does this flexibility of this career that you're in help that, hurt that?
Well, you know, I know I would have to say early on, I learned as an agent, I learned a big lesson, which was discipline, right? Because when you get into this industry, as an agent, a lot of times you're sort of left out there kind of floundering, trying to figure it out, you know? And, I came from my dad's company. So my dad had a business for 42 years and I worked there since I was 5 years old, you know, granted it was for a nickel back then, but, you know, so I was used to working 7 days a week, you know, had to go into the store, open it, close it, you know, you had a place to be. Then when I became an agent, you were home, you know, find people to call them, set appointments and, oh, okay. But there's that pile of laundry that's staring at me over there. I think I'll go do that first and then I'll get to this call. And, my friend just called me. I'll talk to her for a little bit and then I'll get to my calls. You learn pretty quickly.
Nobody knew that nickel at the end of the week, did they?
Yeah, that, you know, you've got to really be disciplined. And I don't know if I'm jumping ahead on you on this or not, but I'll tell you, I remember this one particular day, probably 3 months into my career as an agent. You know, I was sitting at my dining room table where all my leads were spread out. My dining room became my office, you know. Mm-hmm. My leads were all spread out and I had my phone there and I had the newspaper there because remember back in the day, that's how we looked for jobs. We looked in the newspaper. It wasn't online. There was none of that going on. Right. So as I'm looking through leads and I'm not having luck on the phone and, you know, either getting hung up on or the number was disconnected or, you know, whatever. I was also looking through the want ads for a new job. And in the newspaper, I saw like at your service and there were lists of these plumbers, electricians, blah, blah, blah. And I said, let me try calling them. I mean, they probably need insurance. And I remember this one gentleman that I talked to, he had 8 kids and he had no insurance and he was a painter. And I made an appointment and I went out to see him and I helped him tremendously. Like he was so grateful and so thankful. We remained friends for years. But I also got a very nice paycheck at the end of that week, finally, you know, and I thought, wait a minute, this is all I have to do is really, you know, reach out and actually help people. How cool was that? And in turn, it helped me and my family. I ultimately, you know, never looked at those employment ads ever again after that day.
That's awesome. I love that story because you use the word discipline, which I want to come back to a lot, but I think what you were doing was finding solutions for people. Right. And I think that's where so many people in the sales world, whatever it is you're selling, people get so caught up early on in their career about telling everybody how good it is and how you should have it. And you should probably buy three and you should tell me about all your friends because they're going to want to buy three. And you don't even know what these poor people need, you know? So if you went in and you found out probably by asking a lot of questions, and showing him that you were actually genuinely concerned. And you found out you could have a solution for him and boom, that's called a sale. And you were helping him.
Yeah. Yeah. That was just me. That was it. Right. Yep. And Joanne, then it's easy, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
I heard one of our agents give a talk once that he came from another industry, very much retail, you know, blue collar type of a background, came into this company on our captive side. Within the first few months, struggled a lot. Somewhere around month 8, 9, 10, all of a sudden this name just starts appearing on the leaderboard, like week after week after week. He's not even on the leaderboard, and then he's number 10, and then he's 8, and then he's 5, then he's 3, and everybody's trying to figure out, what are you doing? What happened? Did you get like this pile of wonderful leads, or what happened? So we had him talk on one of the sales meetings, and literally he said the exact same thing. The day that I realized that I was there to help them, not that they're there to help me get a paycheck, that's the day everything changed. The day that I realized, when I sit down with that prospect, that I'm there to help them, not sell them, not educate them, but help them, that's when everything started changing. And he said, I started asking more questions. I started learning about how, if you have this need, I've got this product. If you've got this need, I may not have a product, but I can give you advice about where to go to get help with that need. And, you know, so it's just so funny how it's such a light bulb moment. And everybody's probably told that in day one of insurance sales school, no matter where you go to school.
Right.
Or I am certain nobody leaves that out of the training, but you have to go out and experience that and get that before I think you can really get it stuck through your head.
Yeah, totally. I think in my days when I was recruiting for my division at that time, I remember just, you know, saying to people that would come in for an interview, like, if you want to punch a time card, you know, and work 9 to 5 and just come in and do what you're supposed to do, do what you're told, and get your paycheck at the end of the week, this is probably not for you. If you want to help and serve and care for people, and then this is probably the place for you, because this is where you will have such a gratifying career.
Okay. I love that.
Yeah, so you have to know.
Exactly. And it's not for everybody. That's the beauty of this sometimes. Yeah. So you mentioned the word discipline a couple of times. And again, knowing you so well, I know that that's probably one of your North Stars, definitely, is that discipline. Your kids are all involved in sports or academics or talents that take them places that most kids, you know, haven't had the opportunity to experience. I would assume you'd point a lot of that back at their discipline too. You showing them, teaching them the idea of discipline and what it'll do, not just your career, but, you know, with football, with your son, and hockey, and singing with your daughter, all those things that these things are going to take them to places that most kids never get to experience. I assume you point that back a lot at discipline as well.
It's everything to do with discipline. I mean, there's no way we could get done what we have to get done as a family without discipline involved, you know. And I'm not talking about, you know, people getting hit with 12 inch rulers, you know. Yeah, it is the discipline of your schedule, right? You know, I remember I did a lot of traveling in my career, you know, just either whether it was, you know, traveling for United or traveling as a consultant, you know, whatever it was. We had some neighbors over. And, you know, one of the husbands actually said to me, he's like, when are you going to, you know, stop working and stay home and be a mom to your kids? Your kids really need you. Mm-hmm. I really held back my Italian heritage, wanted to lunge at him.
Forcible. How is he today? Has he recovered yet?
You know, I just sort of looked at him and I said, the lessons that I am teaching my kids about being a hardworking human and helping others is more than I could do just staying home and cleaning the house and waiting for them to get home from school. I mean, you know, my kids see us both working very hard, you know, to support them, but also managing our time to make sure that we're there to pick them up from school or to bring them to whatever hockey tournament, lacrosse tournament, football, you know, whatever it was. So I think that's just, I think it's, you know, they just learn it by watching.
Right. I think so many parents where they... This is now going to be a parenting advice podcast. Where some parents go wrong is the word discipline is thrown at the kid, but the kid doesn't have it or want it. So I think there's a difference. And I think the message, whether we're talking about employees, agents, or our kids, it has to be something that they're passionate about and wanting to do. And then the discipline will help you get there.
Right.
I've tried, we got three kids, all went three completely different directions, completely different likes and talents and drives and ambitions. And when you start trying to put your drive and your ambition on them and they don't even want to do that, that's not their thing, then it's a whole different conversation. But when you've got somebody that has the talent or has an ambition or has a love or a passion for something, and then you throw that drive and that discipline on top, then you've got a winning combination. And I think that's, you're going to know each kid differently. And just like employees or whoever you want to relate that to, yeah, everyone's going to react and respond differently to some of those triggers. And I think that discipline is and drive is phenomenal, but you got to have some sort of passion in there too, or it's just going to be like, you know, us standing there with the ruler telling them to get up at 5 a.m.
Right. Right. And I think, you know, another word I think that goes along with discipline, like another kind of thing that you have to have is to never give up.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you can visualize it, if you really, truly believe in it, that you want it, that you need it, that you'd like it, then you could do it.
I love that. I'm a big vision board believer. The book, The Secret.
Yes.
Believe in all of that, that the message we put out and we visualize. I don't know of too many people that awesome things just happen or fall into their lap. I'm sure they do from time to time, but to live your life that way, I'm a big believer in that.
Yeah.
So you've gone through, over the last few years, Kim, you've gone through some real health challenges, some big health concerns. You certainly don't have to share privately, but or don't just share here. But I do think that going through what you went through, that had to have taught you some pretty big life lessons, mom lessons, career lessons.
Yes.
That of what that was like when you got that clean bill of health.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's probably cliche sounding that, you know, if something happens in your life where you can almost see an end of your life, you get that feeling of, gosh, every day matters, you know? Yeah. But I do remember, you know, thinking to myself, like, you know, I've got to push through this. I have kids that need me. You know, I have people in my life that need me. So I've got to be strong and get through this. And I remember one day, you know, sitting, getting treatment, you know, you're there for 5 hours. You can really get to know people there when you're there for 5 hours. And, you know, you're talking with a few other patients and you're sharing experiences and, somebody handed me like this quote book and I had opened it up to this one specific quote and I'll never forget it because I kind of live my life. I probably almost say it on a daily basis. And it got me through what I needed to get through at that time. And it still to this day gets me through. And it's if you're worried, it means you're living too much in the past or you're thinking too much about the past. If you're anxious, you're living too much in the future or you're thinking too much about the future. If you're at peace, you're in the present.
Wow, that is huge.
Yeah, and it's important to be in the present. You know, it's important. Otherwise, we're just kind of running on this wheel, you know, and you have to enjoy things. To enjoy, you have to be present. You can't be somewhere and be thinking about the future, like, oh my God, what's going to happen, you know, next week during the election or something, you know, like things like that, things that can really get you kind of crazy. Or you can't be worried about what happened. You have to be where you are in the moment.
Wow. And I have to think that that's a very hard thing for somebody like yourself, because we just talked about the drive and the discipline and the, you know, the work ethic. That's all about what I do today is planning for tomorrow. What I do today is building for a future. How do you how do you find that peace in today's activity, but yet keep the drive? Then you got to keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going.
Yeah. So the best thing that I do for me is I write it all down. So once I write down, you know, what I have to get done, or, you know, my goals are written down. My list of things that need to be done, like my chores or whatever, they're written down. Then that way I don't have to worry about them in my mind.
Yeah. Thinking about them. You've planned your day, you've planned your week, you've planned your quarter, whatever it is, by writing it down, and then it'll happen, right? There's this magical thing that once you write it down, you commit to it, you look at it on a daily basis or however often you need to, but you don't have to worry about it. That's right. And I think that may sound so trivial that we just discussed writing things down on a list can change your life. But I think what it does is it unloads your brain, right?
Right. Because half the time we're worried about, am I going to remember to do this? I mean, that's half the worry.
Oh, right? Completely with me. Yeah. Completely. Yeah.
Yes. You're right. When you have so much going on, like you said, you know, you got kids doing X, Y, Z, you got your business, you're trying to help this person out, that person. Yeah. You've got to kind of have some kind of system, right? Which, and for me, it's very simple. I just need to keep it written.
And I love that because I'm a huge list maker. My parents always not made fun of, but it was always kind of a running joke. From the time I could write letters together to make a word, I've been making lists. I used to make a list of all, the lists that I needed to make that day, right? Very big on lists, but I thought I hadn't really until this moment come relayed that to, that was giving me peace of mind. I just thought it was writing stuff down because I need to get these things done. But you're right. I think maybe that's why I don't maybe worry so much or have anxiety in the world that we live in, because I've kind of once you release it and you write it down on pen or in your notebook or wherever, that's not a worry anymore. It's just on the list. So it's going to get done. That's a really good, I'd never made the connection there. So thank you.
Yeah. That's what's worked for me at least. And yoga or some type of meditation, some type of clearing of the mind for a short period of time. That those are the two things that really, really have helped me.
We're doing, I love that. We're doing a health and wellness. Sorry, I can't think of the word. We're doing a health and wellness group here at our office. We've done different physical activity things, physical challenge, office Olympics, nutrition days, weight loss challenges. We've done, you name it, we've done it over the years or tried to do it. But what we decided to do with this one is let's not look at weight. Let's not look at even that being the title, but more of health and wellness. And we divided it up into the three main parts, which is one, your physical health, two, your mental health, and three is nutrition. And the fourth that we added is community health, community involvement. What are you doing for others? Things like that. And all of that leads to your mental health and your being at peace, which I think is what you just talked about. And I think the kids these days, as we call them, the 20s and 30s year olds that are joining the workforce and doing very well in their career, but my goodness, are they tied to their to-do list and their calendar. And a device in front of them at all times telling them what's next. So I think it's a slippery slope. We got to watch. You got to put it out there on your list so that it's off your brain. But I think we also have to watch, you know, if everything's on our phone, our calendar, our to-do list, everything, then we're literally constantly on our phone. And we all know what that's going to lead to of not good mental health, not good physical health. We're going to be sitting more. All of this thing. So huge reminders today, Kim. I can't thank you enough for one, friendship over the years has meant a ton to me. We'll continue to have a lot of fun together, both being a part of the Integrity family now, which is once we can get back in airports and conventions and all of that. Can't wait to get back at the dinner table with you soon. But thank you.